Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Moneyweb.
Now, many employees, I think is fair to say, dread asking for a salary increase, often delaying it for months or even years. But leadership expert Advitha Naidu, who is MD at Jack Hammer, believes that facing this difficult conversation can lead to better outcomes for employees and employers. I guess one's got to find the courage to do it. So she joins me tonight to share some practical tips, I hope, on how to confidently approach these negotiations. Advitha, good evening to you. Why do so many of us fear having that conversation?
I think there's a socialization aspect, as we know from being well brought up individuals. You know, personally and professionally, we've been socialized into thinking we must be very grateful for our lot. And it's actually unrefined or improper to talk about money. And it's almost like the last taboo when it comes to the workplace. I think South African corporate culture also tends to be quite hierarchical, and these salary discussions can sometimes feel quite challenging because of the structure. It feels like we're asking for something that we're not entitled to. So I'm just going to jump ahead and talk about, you know, what we should do. I think we really should demystify it, take the pressure off the conversation. You know, we want to be paid for what's fair or for what we bring to the table, and we want the opportunity to improve our situation in life through wealth creation, and there's really no shame in that.
So you emphasize the importance of understanding one's value. So many people do suffer from, I think it's called imposter syndrome. So how do you go about internalizing the best way to prepare for articulating that value when you've got to have that conversation?
So I think there are a few elements to the preparation, but I think before we get there, the important thing is not to assume that companies are necessarily taking advantage of employees and just trying to eke maximum value at the lowest possible cost. There may actually be understandable reasons why employees aren't currently on a salary that is entirely appropriate. And once that's accepted and we can take the emotion out of the conversation, we can go in a little bit less combative and emotionally charged and really take it as a preparation, then I think that's sort of half the battle won. But, you know, when it comes to the preparation, part of it needs to be talking about your contributions. Don't fall foul of recency bias. Don't overemphasize one or two key achievements. Have a full portfolio of work to discuss. Don't assume that your work is going to speak for itself, especially if you're in a larger organization. And then an external element of preparation is research industry standards. It may involve talking to people who are in similar roles at your company or at a competitor. Talk to a recruiter. Look at some job boards for indication. And it also means understanding the context of your skills in the broader talent landscape. Leverage your unique value proposition. So if you work in a sector with a skills shortage, that's really a strong basis for your negotiation.
Am I hearing you correctly or interpreting you correctly when I say you've almost got to plan a campaign here?
That is exactly it. I think, you know, think about what you offer, think about what the market is saying, and really leverage what you have in the best possible light. But I think, you know, as part of that campaign, a third component of the preparation is practicing what you're going to say, anticipate potential questions and counter arguments, as some certain presidential candidates should have done. You know, this is a conversation that you need to plan for. Don't be caught on the back foot. Know that there are going to be counter arguments, and really be ready for them.
Tell me if I did the right thing. When I was a very young man, the first salary increase I had to ask for from a newspaper editor, I was absolutely terrified, and I eventually ambushed him in the men's room. And he had nowhere to go, and I got the increase. That's one way of doing it, the old ambush. Wouldn't you recommend that?
You know what? I think it might be a little bit of a sensitive space, but you know what? Catching them when they're vulnerable, literally with his pants down, yeah. What a move.
So to speak. On a more serious note, though, you also say it's important to get over the fear of rejection. All well and good, but not all of us can do that.
No. I think, again, it's one of those things where divorce yourself from the emotion and divorce yourself from the outcome. If the worst case scenario does materialize, stay calm. Ask why. It doesn't have to be a make or break type of decision. I think, you know, when you go in and you're practicing the counter arguments before you get to that rejection stage, sort of anticipate that it might be turned down. Just be pragmatic about it. While you want to achieve convergence between your expectations of what the company can offer, they may legitimately not be in a position to accommodate a salary increase. So one thing you can do is offer alternatives. There may be financial constraints. They may need to achieve parity across the organization. So suggest something different. is there a performance-related bonus that you could ask for? Could you ask for a contribution towards an MBA? Could you ask for, you know, time off? Just get creative in your thinking. But then if you do have a walk away point, establish that in your mind. And if they say no, they say no. There's never a reason for it to turn into a charged and volatile situation where you end up being disengaged or you leave on bad terms.
What should the tone of the conversation be at all times?
I think it should be calm. It should be rational. It should talk about the commercial value, not only of your work, but also what benefit the company is going to get out of you. Yes, they want to see you engage, but if they sense that you are asking because you have one foot out the door and you're using it as leverage for another company, they're not going to acquiesce to anything like that. Be as spreadsheeted as you can and as calculated as you can. And, you know, while you want to achieve an outcome, there is definitely no reason to be emotional about it.
Post-rejection motivation is also difficult for a whole host of reasons. You might not have been given what you want. You've still got to go back and work. And many people have to do that because jobs are difficult to get hold of these days. How do you recalibrate your approach and still stay motivated?
Well, I mean, I do think that that was part of the preparation, you know, divorcing yourself from the outcome to begin with. But if you didn't manage to do that, you know, sure, take the time and then reassess, you know, think about whether the effort that you have been putting in is commensurate with the pay that you've been getting. And you might want to downscale what you're doing in line with what you think you're being paid. You should always look around. But you know, at the end of the day, the company is going to remember how you reacted to this particular situation. And if you want to find yourself in a position where you're not qualifying for bonuses in the future, or you're not qualifying for future salary increases based on current behavior, then that's probably the wrong career move. That is career limiting.
I'm also sensing, and this is a last question, that if you, when you join a company at the get-go, you should also be planning long-term in terms of growing your compensation and career prospects. So once you've got the foot in the door, you're sitting behind the laptop, the work starts not before you want to just ask for the increase, but way before that.
That's absolutely right, because, you know, we're not just in a job to get the increases. Yes, wealth creation and knowing that you're progressing are important, but you also have to show the value that you bring before you're entitled to any of that. And that means, you know, again, not falling foul of this recency bias. It does have to be consistent performance and building up a portfolio and building up a career before if you're afforded those additional opportunities.
I'm going to leave it there. As always, thank you so much for joining us. That's Advaita Naidu, Africa MD at Jack Hammer Global. Appreciate your time tonight. Thank you.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.